some level, you might say the chemistry between their coach and their coachee might be the number one criteria for effective coaching relationships.
Welcome to the Gospel Coach Podcast. We're here to remind, refresh, resource, and re-engage with gospel coaches all around the globe. Glad you can join us. I'm your host, Jim Moon Jr., and I'm here today with the pioneer of gospel coaching, Dr. Tom Wood. He's the founder and president of CMM, where for 15 years, he's been training gospel coaches in the cross-conversation model. It has spread from Atlanta to every continent. Our goal in these podcasts is to empower you, the gospel coach, in your ongoing coaching of other leaders. We'll give you examples of what we've learned over the years and invite different guest coaches to share what they've learned through coaching to advance the gospel with their coachees. So whether you're in the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, or Cuba, South Africa, India, Australia, Malaysia, Nigeria, or Germany, or any other nation, let's get started cross-pollinating ideas and insights in gospel coaching. We'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to send us a note at gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com with questions and comments.
Welcome to today's Gospel Coach Podcast. Jim Moon is on a well-deserved sabbatical, and so I'm flying solo today. When we first began the discussions about doing a podcast for people trained as gospel coaches, I had this great idea. Since I wanted it to be a workshop-type podcast, providing coaches with fresh ideas and reminders, offer you some resources, and re-engage with many of the people who took gospel coach training years ago, but perhaps have forgotten some of the values that it brings to life. Anyway, I wanted to name it The Woodshed. However, the team, including the production people, said that sounded too much like getting beaten up. So you can see kind of my own sense of humor, that dark side that it can often get me into trouble. Anyway, people, to me, didn't seem to get or didn't want to get the absurdity of the joke. Of course, I'm not going to beat anybody up. But the workshop idea, that name, the workshop with the wood shop, my name, just seemed like a good little play on words. Anyway, once you have to explain the insider joke, it kind of loses everything. So my wife, Rachel, has warned me on more than one occasion that over the years that people don't know when I'm joking, I sound too serious with people. So at the risk of doing this solo podcast with no one here like Jim to monitor my words or my kidding around, I will work overly hard to stay to the point and not try to kid with you today. If you were in on the early gospel coach training days, when we were training coaches for church planters, that's all we were doing was church planter gospel coaching. You might remember the discussion we had on the four doorways or bridges that leaders have to cross to have an effectiveness in bringing other people along with them. We were talking specifically about church planters. We then applied it to developing your coaching relationship. And I'm going to assume that you may not have remembered those things. So I'm going to go through them. And when you're working with a leader, so think about yourself as coaching somebody who's in leadership, which is primarily the job that we have as gospel coaches, coaching people who are leading something, a new endeavor, a church plant, a church, a new business, a nonprofit, a ministry, a key leader at some place in the church. The first door, that first bridge that a leader has to cross with their potential follower or team member is what we call the likability factor. The potential follower is subconsciously asking, do I like this person? Is this someone that I could see hanging out with? It's that human connection part. And it's not unreasonable for them to, again, subconsciously ask themselves, do I like him or her? In our culture, we like to use the word authenticity. And so in some sense, they're asking, is this person authentic? And can I be authentic around them? Can I be me? Can we enjoy hanging out and being together? And perhaps part of that is, will this person help me do life? It's this likability factor. For many years in my training as a leader and as a church planter, I was taught and taught others that leaders primarily led through vision. Vision was very important. And so you had to work hard at creating a captivating vision. But that really is no longer the case anymore. Today's generation values relationship far above any sense of vision. In fact, many people are kind of skeptical about leadership or people aspiring to a position of leadership. They're more cynical regarding authority. And so they look at people who want to be the leader and question that. But they do value the relational connection that they can have with a leader. Now, having said that, many people do want to be part of something that is meaningful. So they're wondering, does this person have a destination in mind? Do they know where they're going? This is what's called the mission factor or the vision factor. Is the vision, is this mission that we're on compelling? Is it something that I could give my time to, my resources to? Does it align with my own sense of mission, what I'm about, what I want my life to be about? And so there's this likability factor that's important. Then there's this vision factor or mission factor. Is the problem they're, again, subconsciously asking, perhaps, is the problem that we're going to try to solve have a compelling solution? And they must answer, yes, this is very important. This is an important cause, and I'm willing to join this cause and give myself to this cause. So those are two very key bridges or doorways or paths that leaders have to bring people along. Is there likability? Is there a compelling vision that we can be a part of? But there's two others. The next one is the ability factor. Does he or she know how to develop the plans to accomplish this mission? They're asking along with this mission, with this compelling vision, they're wondering, does this leader have the maturity, we might say the chops, to get us to that destination? Have they lived long enough, suffered enough? Have they failed at something and been able to keep going? And so this is also been referred to by some as the competency factor. In other words, do they have the ability? Do they have the competency? Perhaps you may be thinking now in your own leadership or people that you've had to follow in the past. You say, I really liked that person. They were a lot of fun and enjoyed them. And man, they had this great vision of this big church or this big idea. It was bold. But then you discovered they didn't really have the ability to make it happen. They were just a dreamer. But once you cross that bridge, once you like the person, you're captivated by the vision or the mission that this person's on, it becomes your mission, becomes your vision, you're in that, you believe they have the competency. The next one they want to know is what we call the participation factor. What is it that you want from me as a follower? How are we going to make a real difference in our city or in our world? And what role do you want me to play in that? So these four pieces these four pathways, these four roads or bridges that people have to cross are very important.
Today, it's time to remind yourself of the grace-renewing dynamics at the heart of gospel coaching. Tom's new book, Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing, is the expanded teaching of the core of the coaching you've received in your foundations class when you've trained to become a gospel coach. David Whitehead, Senior Director and Urban Gospel Coaching Trainer with City to City New York, wrote, "This book is a winner and needs to be read by anyone who is serious about going deeper in their walk with Christ." Dr. Bill Sim, Korean Ministries Coordinator for Mission in North America, who recently completed all the pieces of Gospel Coach training, said, "Vital Grace is like a defibrillator, awakening us to experience a radical outpouring of God's grace." Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing by Tom Wood, is now available at Amazon.com. Get your copies today, one for you and one for your coachees, so they are saturated in gospel renewal.
Now, let me transition that and make the application to coaching, because in coaching, we say there has to be a chemistry between the coach and their coachee. There has to be this relational chemistry and good chemistry. And chemistry between the coachee and the coach is essential to the good health of the leader. In fact, at some level, you might say the chemistry between their coach and their coachee might be the number one criteria for effective coaching relationships. A reason why coaches can't be assigned is because of this factor, this chemistry that has to occur. You may be able to think of a sports team or a figure where a player was on a team and then had to get traded. The player wasn't performing up to what everybody had hoped, and they got traded to a new team, and then they began to excel. They became the MVP, or they became the number one receiver or the number one running back. And oftentimes, you'll hear them say something to the effect of that they didn't get along with the other coach. Well, that's true when you're coaching people in gospel coaching. Even though it's about the gospel, there still has to be this chemistry. So we use in our acrostic, cross coaching, the C stands for connecting. Now, if you're in a different culture and you're using a different acrostic because of cross doesn't fit in your culture, that's okay. But you still have to have a connecting piece to coaching. Whatever culture you're in, there's got to be this connecting time where you're connecting with that person. And in that connecting time, in that connecting part of your coaching relationship, you should be building this sense of chemistry. When I started CMM in 2004, I've been coaching leaders as a job since then, full-time. 3 years after that, I was training others to do gospel coaching using the cross acrostic. I even went on to earn a doctorate in coaching using this gospel coaching cross acrostic as I developed in my doctorate. In 2010, that was happening. The book Gospel Coach was published by Zondervan in 2012, and it's still selling too. But I say all that to say I've coached a lot of leaders over many years, and I have to confess that I have not connected well with some of them, nor they with me. Some of our coaching relationships ended after the first 6 months. Some made it to the end of the first year. But it's okay, because that's the nature of a relationship in gospel coaching, is that it's highly relational. And so if there isn't chemistry, then they need to find a coach. They need to get paired up with a coach to where they can build chemistry. So if you find yourself saying, I would not be meeting with this person if I wasn't being paid, if you're the coach, or if I hadn't told my boss that I would coach this person, then I probably wouldn't be meeting with them. It might be better for you to help them find somebody else who they can get along with and really feel a sense of connection. So it's important that you connect with that person yourself. Do you like the person you're coaching, and do you think that they like you? The second, remember now, we're looking at these four doorways. Do you believe in this person's vision, in his vision, in her vision of the future and the mission that they're on? I found it almost impossible to coach someone that I believe is on the wrong mission. So ask yourself, can you get behind what he or she is aiming to do in leading this endeavor that they're on? If you don't believe in their vision or their mission, for whatever reason, it's very hard to coach that person to accomplish that mission. So ask yourself as a coach, am I enthusiastic about what he or she believes God is calling them to do? You see, a good coach isn't going to help a leader do whatever they want to do with their life or ministry. We want to assist people to do what God wants. What is God's intended future? And so as a coach, we got to be sure we're not just assisting a leader to worship or follow or create or live for their own false idol of their making. And sometimes it may be that you don't agree with the mission they're on in the context where they're going. You just don't agree with the mission that they're on. I remember years ago, a man that I was coaching was trying to start a church in a community, and the kind of church he wanted to start didn't fit the context at all. And so I was not passionate about, interested in the mission that he was on, because it was doomed to fail. It was not a fit for the context of where he was going. And he eventually came to see that over the course of the year, but it was frustrating for him and for me too, I guess. Three, does he need you to help him reach this vision, or her to reach the mission that they're on? Do you believe that they can reach it? A compelling vision is vital to leading, but without the capacity to execute it, to pull it off, it's just a great dream. So do you believe that they have the chops to get this done? Now, what I don't mean is, do you believe this person is a big hitter, is going to have the next big success story? And if they're not, then you're not going to coach that person. In fact, gospel coaching really is about Jesus gaining a great reputation for himself by advancing his kingdom on earth through weak people. So good coaches don't have to have great players, and they don't assume they're going to get great gains if they correct someone's weaknesses. But we should be looking for a leader's humble boldness. There has to be humility in them. He's a learner. He's not someone that has all the answers. She is someone that has a prayer life and shows a dependence upon Christ to do his thing through them. So with humility, we must be able to say, I can do this because God's calling is God's enabling. And then lastly, you cross the participation factor. What does your coachee need from you or want from you? And when you're coaching someone, especially if it's at a professional level, they're not engaging you simply to have a coaching session with them. They want someone who can assist them in reaching their God-given vision so it can become a reality. So how do you participate with them in the advancement of the mission that God has for them? So you, the coach, need to be clear as to what they have as an expectation of the coaching relationship. We use a contract. We clarify those expectations ahead of time, along with what we call a coaching Kickstarter. It's a form that our coaches fill out ahead of time before we start coaching them, so that we can get a feel for what this person is looking for in a coaching relationship. So I know some of you, I know not all of you are doing coaching as a professional. You're doing it at a missional level. But these dynamics are still at play when you're coaching somebody in a gospel coaching relationship, that there are these four basic relational crossroads or intersections, bridges, whatever term you want to use to help become an effective gospel coach in their life.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment or a story to share, send us a note via gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com.